your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall ring aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and to all your saints shall bless you. Luke 2:8-21. In the same region, out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is a born child, the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to you." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen, as it had been told. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Please be seated. Like I shared with you earlier, that we're going to just have an opportunity just to share. A prayer time, joy time, share your joy, share something about this Christmas that was very special for you, anything. It's just a part of our family, an opportunity to testify. And I want to start, you know, that every Christmas season I really try to prepare my heart for Advent. I know that we can easily get into just a rhythm, a routine that sometimes overlooks the need for us to really pay attention. And that's why I love Advent and Lent. I love the opportunity to study and to remind myself what's really important in my life. And as I was studying Advent, I like numbers a lot. And I enjoy the probability of things. I kind of look at science and all that, and I look at the probability of things. And when I was studying the prophecies, for the first time, I mean, many years ago, it really hit me. But for this year, the prophecies and all those prophecies and the probability for one person to fulfill those prophecies just blew me away. Have you ever had an aha moment and you go, "Oh my gosh, this is crazy," you know? And the same way I was looking at this and I'm thinking the possibility of one person fulfilling the prophecies that was given to this person years and years ago, and he did it. And it was a special moment in my Christmas experience, this Advent, that really, again, it was a special gift to me. I was wondering, is there anybody else that would like to share? I'm not going to be the only one, okay?
It was great to be here on Christmas Eve after 2 years of hunkering down with COVID. Last Christmas, Kathy Stevens and Jeanette Hahnemann came over to my house and we had cookies and tea and we watched the service on the computer and took communion at home. But it's so great to be back here at Christmas Eve. And the other thing I always go back to my childhood memories. So this year I made peanut butter fudge, or not peanut butter fudge, but black walnut fudge. My dad always made black walnut fudge at Christmas time, and I took it to Chuck Gray. And then I made Aunt Norma's sugar cookies and shared those around. And I made, this morning I made Bonketstaven, which is a Dutch almond roll. And these are all just Christmas memories from my childhood. And it just feels so great.
And I want to let you know the walnut fudge is awesome. I don't know how many pieces I've had, but it's been great.
This is Larry.
Yep, that's Larry. Jonathan from Tanner Cross, which is up Alaska Highway, but 190 miles from here. I make my stay here in Fairbanks for the winter, although that many people go south for the winter. I go opposite north. Yeah, my stay in Fairbanks has been a blessing because I get to go to church of my choice. And I don't have to pick denomination or any kind of thing. Although I was born and a member of an Episcopal church, which I am all the way through. Even though I go to different churches, don't mean that I've joined them or anything. But wherever we go, we hear God's word as long as it's spoken of the Bible. And I wanted to share something about Christmas. Back home where I'm from, long ago, the people used to have a long Christmas into the new year. And the whole community gets involved. They pray and they worship together. And then they have a big what you call a feast, like a banquet. And every day they have those, every evening. And they have daytime, they have activities like sled dog races and stuff like that, snowshoe race. And then in the evening they have music. My people, the older people that were there before me, as the story goes, from what I have heard, a lot of them played all different kind of instrument, and they love music. And when they go to church, when they sing songs to the Lord, they just don't look at the people that they're not entertainers. Everybody joins in. That's how my people, that's how they praise and worship. And then they don't look this direction with the offering. They look toward that direction, and you give thanks. And offerings are very, very meaningful. Once we dig in our pocket to give, and it drops into the offering, we no longer have our mind on that money or anything, because it goes for God's work. And that's the way our people are there. Last night they had a big service, and this morning one of my friends called and said, "You know, Larry, in the offering I even see $100 bills." You know, how wonderful God can be to bless people to share their giving. What you labor and what you earn, you're supposed to give so many percent in tithe. And if like that coin, they gave coin, and one of them didn't abide. He didn't do anything with that coin. Those kind of stories are meaningful, and we should apply those to ourselves. And one more thing that connects with the light. You go along, or you know, I used to work on a fishing boat, commercial fishing boats. And along the coast, I see a guiding light along the coast. It reminds me of Jesus. And the sailboat, it's got the thing to guide it. And compass, same thing. Just like that light, those light that they were foretold for the people to follow. Today, Jesus is our shining light, and they're supposed to have a beacon for the light of him to show others, not just to favorite certain ones, but to love one another unconditionally and to care for each other. This man here, he passed right here substituting. Tell you guys, make up your mind to pick somebody and choose and pray about who you want to be behind the pulpit to preach to you God's word. Episcopal Church has been talked down, but you know, they don't know what the Episcopal is. You know that on the garment, this thing written all the way around. That's why they wear gown. And cross is where Jesus went for us. I think about Bethlehem. Cold, it was crowded, and Joseph and Mary, that's where they went, because people had to go and register to claim where they're from. And the town was full, they had no place. But then the innkeeper said, oh, but there's one thing. And they said, what's that? There's a stable. We'll take it, they said. They took them to there. And today, us people, they call us civilized. We look for a nice, clean place. In those days, Jesus was born. They got no crib. They lay in the feeder of the animal, which is the manger. And they didn't have no doctor or nurse to be there. They do all that stuff, and then they wrap them in their swaddling clothes. And the ones that were told where to find them, they found them. They were there. One more thing about that light back in Tanna Cross, where I'm from. It's almost 50 years since we have moved from the old site to the new village site. And one Christmas midnight service from 11 to 12, they have in the central of the community, they have a church. And before they built that cabin church, they get together in the community hall. And there was a Christmas play, and then they had church. Late night, they had church. And somebody from one of the home along the street, they looked toward that building, and guess what? There was light above that building. There was light. The Bible says there'll be signs and wonders, and all this kind of stuff will take place. And today it's going on. You know, rumors of war and all this kind of stuff. People, sickness of all kind, like plaque and stuff like that. But God, we're not too far from him. He's in our reach. All you got to do is reach out to him.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. And Pastor, I want to say a special Merry Christmas to Bonderlock family. Russ, his wife Rebecca, if you see this, in Anchorage. This morning I talked with them. Yesterday evening, I talked with them. They said they were on their way back from Christmas Eve service. And we had a good visit over the phone. And they've been praying for me. And I'm sure a lot of you here have been praying for me too. And God answers every single of the prayers that you pray. It's good to see a star up on that tree out there. It brings me a good feeling. Thank you for whoever take part in doing what they can. We missed many of you that are here, but then we understand that you were here in the Christmas Eve service. And any which way, God bless each one of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you so much for sharing. Wonderful stories. Anybody else like to pray? Like to share, or you have a joy, a concern that we can pray for? Michelle. Would you? Oh, there we go.
Although the flights were canceled, I feel that the Lord had a plan, and although it hasn't been given to us, it will in time.
Jala is supposed to be heading out on a plane right now and to go down in, what's the name of the place? Boise, Idaho. And as you know, the weather is really difficult there. And so let's pray. Father, you always have a greater plan. And sometimes when we are in the midst of it, we struggle with the fact that it's not going our way. But Father, help us through your Holy Spirit to have patience, to be able to flex, to be able to listen to you and know that you're still guiding us. You're still providing us with the resources we need to know what to do next. So I pray for Joelle and her family that they can trust you with the future and what's going to happen next with regard to travel. And we pray for safe travel for many people. And we know that many people are stranded at airports. And so, Father, we just pray that they'll look to you for, again, for joy and be reminded of your goodness and love. In Jesus' name, amen. And Michelle?
So I guess I'm going to piggyback on Barb's memories when, you know, growing up and stuff. And I was thinking all this week about Christmas Day when I was growing up. And we would get up early, open presents, get dressed, go to church, and then we would go to my Aunt Virginia and Uncle Mario's house for Christmas Day. And there was like 17 cousins. And my aunt would kind of, you know, childproof the basement. And my uncle owned a construction company, so he had like a little office area with a rolling chair and one of those 10-punch adding machines where you're and stuff. So that, you know, that was an office. There was darts, there was billiards, and all kinds of games. So with like 17 kids, and it wasn't a huge space, but we managed to live thinking about that because we would take that office chair and just somebody would sit in and somebody would push them around the basement while darts are flying and stuff. And I just sit back and think about what a miracle. Nobody got darted in the head. We all made it through. So it's like just memories like that and family, how important it is with family. And a lot of us have family that are out of state, out of town, but then we do have those that we're lucky enough to have here with us and stuff. But just family time at Christmas time, and you all are my family. So Merry Christmas.
Amen. Well, I also like to celebrate someone's first Christmas as a married couple. Joe and Johanna is celebrating today as a married couple. They're still newlyweds, and we're just so glad that you're part of our family. I don't know if you know this, but Johanna is getting ready for the Iditarod. So that is some hard, crazy stuff. Extreme stuff. I'm so proud of her. So let's pray for her as she and both of them. Father, we thank you for the gift of marriage. We thank you for the sacredness of marriage in which you call us together to be one with one another. So, Father, I pray for continued blessings for Anjana and for Joe, and that you would just continue to strengthen their love for each other. We pray also for Joanna to get strengthened and to prepare herself for that amazing race. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen. They are cute together.
Last January, I was diagnosed with a very nasty cancer and went through a million tests and a couple of months of chemo. And then in May, a visiting doctor told me that I probably wouldn't be here till Christmas, which was a bit of a shock. And fortunately, my regular doctor came back and said, no, I see something different on all those tests. And she knew what to put me on, and I have been getting better ever since.
Yeah.
it isn't over by a long shot. And there's a lot more details that I won't go into, but I am really happy to be here this Christmas. And last summer, I didn't know whether to buy a season pass to FDA, and I didn't know whether to buy a ticket to a concert I really wanted to see in March, but I went ahead and did it, and now I'm looking forward to next Christmas. So, and I appreciate everyone's prayers in this church, which I know were continuous, because I didn't attend for 8 months, worried about infection and so forth.
Well, think about that. Your doctor says you're not going to make it for next Christmas. what news? But instead, God had a different plan, a wonderful different plan for June, and she is here today to celebrate Christmas, and let's just thank God for that. Father, we do. We thank you for June. We thank you for the medical resources that are out there that you have given us to help us in our time of healing. But ultimately, Father, we know that you are the great healer, and you provide those resources as well as the necessary strength to heal. So we thank you that June is here right now with us celebrating Christmas, and we pray for more Christmases for her. And we ask this in your son's name. Amen. Anybody else want to share? Excuse me. Oh, Jerry. In fact, it was your daughter that shared me about the story of your grandfather or your dad that was in World War II that they had that unique Christmas experience. Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, he was a POW and led a Christmas service. I don't know how old he was, probably about 19 or 20. And that was right before he went into the ministry and the seminary. Oh, yeah, they called him deacon at the camp.
I heard actually the guards also participated.
They did, yeah. Interesting times. We had to coax those memories out of him. They didn't come easy. Just two memories, and one isn't even pertaining to Christmas. You're talking about this three-part sermon series on the difference of men and women. We had an adult Sunday school class many years ago, and there was a gentleman there. I don't know if he's a pastor or what he was, but he was leading this class talking about the difference of men and women. I only remember two things of it, which is more than I normally remember. And one of it was that women tend to talk about people or other people. Men tend to talk about things, and I thought, that's true. But the other part was he was trying to show the difference between them, and he said, I'd like all of you that are packing knives to pull them out. And all the women there, out of their purses or whatever, pulled out a knife, and not one man did. And he said, oh, that didn't work. This is Alaska. And then finally, one memory here. Last night, I was thinking during the candlelight service, and I shared this with Peter earlier this week. Before we had this covering on the walls, this sanctuary, hidden behind it are concrete blocks that are stacked unevenly. And the idea was, I guess, originally in the 50s when they built it to make it look like a temple. And so when the lights would shine on the walls, it was kind of an interesting pattern that they would have because it wasn't uniform on the stacking of the bricks. Anyway, all that's hidden. But he was fanatical about the Christmas Eve service and what he would do. And he said, it has to be totally black in here. And so he would cover the windows. He took all the exit lights and pulled out the lights on them. Totally illegal. Yeah, my dad did. And I said, well, Dad, how is that going to work with lighting a candle and everything, if everything's pitch black? He said, well, I'll make it work. I've got this little message that I've memorized, and I want you, and I don't know if it was my brother or whomever it was, but we're supposed to come down this center aisle in pitch black. And I remember feeling the pews as we walked down. But we got up there somehow towards his voice. And then finally, after his little sermonette there, he had a match and he lit the one candle. And it was amazing to see how one candle could light everything. And then from that it spread. But I'll never forget that because I just didn't think it would work, but it did.
Thank you for sharing that story. Anybody else like to share? Okay.
So we're the Dykstras from Wisconsin, members of the Christian Reformed Church, your Dutch cousins in the Calvinist tradition. And we're not really supposed to be here. We our flight got canceled, and so contrary to the song, we were not home for Christmas. This, in fact, is a first Christmas that we will not have been together as a family. So in that sense, it will be a very memorable Christmas. And yeah, we're kind of bummed by that. But being here today, I am reminded that there's an even deeper identity than our blood family, and that's our being bought and adopted by Jesus Christ and being in the midst of brothers and sisters in Christ here. So we are still with family. And we're grateful for that and grateful for your witness here in Fairbanks.
I do. I love that common denominator, Jesus Christ, and that we can go to different parts of the world and connect with a brother and sister, and it's almost like instant family. So we're so glad you could be a part of us, part of this family. Anybody else like to share? Well, we're getting towards the end there. Well, just to close, I think some of you heard it yesterday, but we have a special tradition in our families that we, on Christmas Eve, we get together and we pick an hors d'oeuvre, and someone picks shrimp, crab, and what scallops wrapped up in bacon, and we, after the Christmas Eve service, we get together and we just sit by the Christmas tree and we eat all our hors d'oeuvres and have Martinelli's and all that, and we, share our life together, and we share our stockings. That's when we open our stockings, and my oldest daughter decided to shock us as we are, because I'm on the phone listening, trying to be a part of that that gathering down where they're in Columbus, and she shocked us, and she said that she is pregnant with her third child, and that was the gift. It was a special gift. It was an amazing gift that I'm so grateful for. And it's all about that child. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about that baby. And what we're going to do here is we're going to see that that baby, came into the world for one thing, and that is to bring us to the Father. He was a great miracle maker. He was a great teacher. He did a lot of great things, but he had one mission, and that is bring us back to the Father, because the Father loved us so dearly. And he knew that sin separated us, and us, that kept us away from him. We didn't have any type of relationship because of that sin. But God chose us this morning, chose all of us here to be sons and daughters of a great family, of his history. And Christ came, and this bread represents this wonderful reason why Christ came into the world, become the bread of life. And he said, this bread represents my body broken for you, historically broken for you. So that you can have new life, a heart of flesh, a new relationship with your Father in heaven.
And likewise, he took the cup of redemption, and said, this cup represents my blood poured out for you to establish a new covenant, a covenant in which you can call my Father, Father, to have this relationship. To have the forgiveness of sins and come into a new kingdom and to be a part of his kingdom forever. Let's bow our heads and pray and prepare our hearts for this. This is special. Jesus Christ said it very clearly that when we gather together here and partake with this table, that is another means of his grace, meaning he says that I am here with you in spirit. So I pray, let's pray earnestly. Father, we thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to share this table again. And these symbols represent the reason why we're here today. That you have given up your life to us. You rose from the dead, and you've given us a new life, a new relationship with your Father, our Father in heaven. And we thank you, God. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your constant mercy in our lives. Constant mercy every day. You never give up on us, God. Never. And we're so grateful. We pray all of this in your Son's name.